in the wind of change, the age of surprise, it's coming. By doing this, what happens? What I've seen in working with thousands of people worldwide to find this deep connection and gather their keys to live an extraordinary life is that we all have good intentions, but when we meet a crisis, our good intentions, where did they go? They don't rise to the surface. And later we look back and say, why did I behave like this? Why did I say this? Why didn't I do what I know to do? And that's because we keep our core virtues and values in a small basement. So what I'm saying to you is, you write them down. Sit at home tonight with a piece of paper. What are they? Write it down. Get it down to three simple, easy, short sentences, and then repeat them every day. Put them on a postcard in your purse. I put them on my refrigerator. Make that your mantra. And then when surprise comes and opportunity comes, whether it's you're standing in the grocery store and, oh, surprise, and trust me, you'll be surprised if this happens, you see an angel, or you're driving down the street and a car pulls in front of you and you have to swerve all of a sudden to save your life. Either surprise, when you have those core values right in your frontal lobe, the executive functioning center that makes decisions, you will turn that surprise into a phenomenal experience of wisdom. It can save your life, and it could also bring you enlightenment right there.
I was with you this weekend, and you did a guided visualization or journey with us, and I tapped into one of my core values, or one of my keys, and I mentioned it earlier in the program, that I think is one of my keys, and that's curiosity. So what you're saying is that, like, for me, an antidote to fear or despair, which is easy to tap into these days, both fear or despair, is to then to call on my value of curiosity.
Fabulous.
And to ask a question, wow, I wonder how this is going to turn out,
right?
Rather than to go, you're laughing, William, what, you have some thought on this, please.
Well, just, I mean, when I've been hit, like many people have, a lot of surprises recently, and, you know, some of them you can go into despair, and but that I was laughing because of that sense of, like, wonderment when you go, wow, I never saw that coming ever. And just, you know, it's almost like you're kind of laughing at yourself, because we all think we can kind of figure out what's going to happen. And then when the surprise comes so outlandish, you know, I think humor, in fact, you know, I have this thing that all humor really comes from surprise. When you think about everything you laugh about, the punchline. The punchline's a punchline because it hits you because you didn't see it coming. You're a sucker punch.
Right.
And so all humor is a surprise. And so I chuckled with you then, because I have that same reaction sometimes. It's so outlandish. You go, like, oh my God, I never thought this would happen.
And that's so great too, sweetheart, because the what I wanted to share was that when you go to curiosity, your core value, instead of fear, you've just tapped into the wonder and the awe of existence. You've just tapped into a deep well of natural law. And in natural law, there are core principles that hold time and space together. There is a mathematical equation, an architecture to not only the physicality of our reality, but believe it or not, there is an architecture and a mathematics to the unseen reality called consciousness. And when you tap into your core values, you immediately go into a grid system of order, which is can overcome anything that happens because you've just entered a unified field of order. That's what virtue means. Virtue means order. And these values are not to be taken lightly. We don't discuss them enough in our world now, but they are what will give us the strength and power to meet what's coming and to win a big time and have a great life, even with the challenges that are coming.
Well, that reminds me of another piece in your book. And this is taking us to that larger reality that we're maybe facing in these extraordinary times. I'm going to call them extraordinary times. And this is about a choice point. And here's what you revealed in your book. You say, you are at a choice point. One of the rare times in the incarnation of the human where you choose what the next million years are going to look like, and your generation and the generations of the next 20 years, you are the generation that has been given the duty to choose. That's a big commission. That's a big commission, but you're saying that we are at a time, if it's time of surprises, is not just, hey, a la-di-da time, oh, that we can just go off and meditate and that's going to be enough. But you're really talking about, I think you use a term, spiritual warfare, that we really have to step up to the plate and do our part. So comments?
Well, there's another quote that actually I would like, maybe I'll pull out from the book if I could read it just on that one. And this was one of my favorite ones. And it has to do with what we do in these times, because it is true with these things happening. You know, there are some people think, oh, just it's all just goodness and light. But it's like, no, there's points where, you know, we have to take a stand when we see things that aren't right. And the quote goes like this: your soul is pure. Nothing can touch it. Nothing can harm it. Even if your soul is, as they say, taken by the devil, even if you fall in a chasm of darkness, your soul remains pure. It's redeemable. The soul of the evilest person is redeemable because the soul was made by God. And that is what Jesus meant when he said, love your enemy. It is that you are to love the pure light within the soul of your enemy. Nowhere does it say to love the actions of bad behavior.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so on the one hand, you're seeing the light in people, but you're not just standing by and letting bad things happen to people. You're not just standing by and letting, you know, evil or destruction happen. So to me, there's a balance there. And I've seen from your spiritual practice a lot, sometimes people will just go, oh, we're just going to meditate on the light and everything will work out. Well, that's nice, but history's kind of shown that it doesn't really that. So love your enemy, but don't say it's okay that they do what they do when it's wrong.
And you know, thank you, sweetheart, for reading that. That's also one of my favorite teachings, is that, yes, it is important, that people do the light work and meditate with goodness and meditate on light. Yes. However, the next step is, of course, action, taking whatever action we need to take to protect our environment, take care of our people. But the other thing on top of that is that's very important to know, that when you stop a person from doing something destructive, when you say no, you're not allowed to dam this valley. No, you're not allowed to, put someone in jail without evidence. No, I'm going to say no to whatever is evil or whatever is harmful to people. What you have just done is you have redeemed three people. Many times more. You have redeemed yourself because you're standing for a core value and virtue of the law of the universe, which is that people and the environment, the world God created, the garden, is to be cared for, loved, and protected. You are redeeming the person, the perpetrator, because the perpetrator has lost such contact with his own light that it now is operating in an operating system out of its true nature of the laws of the universe. And by saying, no, you can't do it, you actually are helping that perpetrator become free. You're actually driving that person back into having to find the light of the soul.
And as we're talking about these concepts, I'm also reminded of another quote from the book that I want to read. And this has a beautiful picture of two strawberries. They're just, they look so delicious in a very dark black background. And it says, in order to enter into freedom, you must have balance. It's not enough to have a mystical experience. It's not enough to just meditate. It's not. I wish it was. Meditation doesn't do anything for character. Character, the backbone, your spine, is your essence. Yet, you can have this strong character and be completely cut off from the fruit of the mystical. And so you suffer because you can't taste the sweetness, because you do have the fruit, but you cannot taste its sweetness. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about tasting the sweetness of, yes, of really taking that in. It's more than just sitting and meditating and doing your hour meditation or whatever. And it's, as you say, being active in the world.
Yes, absolutely. So what I mean by this is that I found people will tend to have one or the other. You will meet people who have all these incredible mystical experiences, but their lives are a mess. Or you meet people who they have their 401k, they have their house, everything's in order, and they're just, oh, I just can't connect. I can't connect to the deepest level. So it's time to bring that back into balance for everyone. So I'll start just very briefly. If you're a person and you have that character down, you're just, you know, you're the rock solid person in your family, in your community, what I would say to you is take a moment, get a strawberry or a piece of fruit, sit down and meditate with that fruit and ask the spirit of that fruit, the angelic presence of that fruit, to fill you with its spiritual sweetness. And then eat that strawberry or a peach, something sweet, and taste it very slowly. And as you do this, just imagine you're inside of the most beautiful garden you've ever seen, with the most beautiful flowers, and your imagination will get kicked into place and your endorphins will go off, and then the hormones will be released and you will begin to know the sweetness of the divine through a very physical, tangible experience. I promise it works. Then, if you are someone who has all these experiences, but you're not grounded, you lose your keys, you can't, you know, oh my gosh, where's my schedule? What I want to say to you is, you carry a notebook with you, a little book all the time. And what you want to do is, now at the very top, you're going to write down your one of your core values. And then I want you to start to keep a log of your day. Oh, okay, at 9 a.m., okay, I woke up and I brushed my teeth. Okay, now I had lunch. And then from this log, create a schedule for yourself that's very, very grounded. And why does this work? Because when you write something down, you are anchoring a thought. You are anchoring your mysticism into concrete, and that's what you need to do. You need you need to ground, and the grounded person needs to expand. So these two exercises, you do them for 30 days, and you will have a tremendous transformation inside of you. I promise.
Oh, thank you so much. That's just beautifully said. You did so very practical resources for us, no matter where we are. Thank you so much. And that just reminds me, I know that Deirdre, especially you, really tap into the invisible worlds as a mystic. And some people might call them archangels, or ascended masters, or whatever name we give them. Can you say something about the archangels?
Yes, I would love to. And the archangels are in all religions, all paths. Oh, they're in the indigenous paths. They just have different names. And these are the creator beings. These are forms of light. Malachim from the Hebrew means a packet of light. They were the first energies created by the all that is, Wonka Tonka, the one, Hashem, the first energy of light that was created before the physical world was created. These great energies of consciousness were created. And these energies of consciousness hold the virtues of what will become known as the goodness of mankind. And these archangels, use them this term for now, they are overseers working with our world so that we all are safe and we have access to deep divine wisdom. And wisdom is so important right now because wisdom is the key where your core value and virtue taps into knowledge, which changes reality. Changes your reality. It changes the course of your personal history or world history. And the archangels are energies that are here to help you with this. You can speak to them or just say, archangels, please come to me. Tap into their energies. If you're deeply spiritual, go that. But if you're not so spiritual, just understand that they are a consciousness of intense light, of a consciousness of vision and clarity. Archangel Uriel, Michael, which is the protector and the carrier of prayer. Raphael is the all the healer, which brings all healing. Gabriel, which brings communication and brings oneness between people. So they're powerful energies that are ready. They're here to serve and want to be put to work because that's what angels do.
And we have to ask.
Yeah, we have to ask.
We have to ask. Yes. And I know that you have a beautiful, I kind of marked it in my book because there's a beautiful prayer that I thought, I'm going to write this prayer out and have it at my ready and really memorize it. You know, there's the Catholic prayer, Our Lady prayer, Mary prayer. But this one I really loved, and it's, help me, archangels, to be a better person. Bring me your clarity, your strength, your healing, and your wisdom. Guide my every action until my actions become your actions. I open myself to your guidance. I am eternally thankful for your care. I just thought that was such a beautiful prayer that's asking for help from that invisible realm.
Yes.
So is there anything you want to add about that and how it can be helpful to us in these times?
Why do we need to ask for help? Because when we were created in the image of God, God said, my children have to know the difference between good and evil and know how to choose good so that I can pass on my true godly powers of which they are the pure potential to. So I'm giving my children free will to make that choice. In order to do that, I'm going to have to step out of the picture. I'm the parent. My kids are going off to college. I now have to let go of them and pray that they make it in the world. So I'm going to do that. But, you know, I'm going to send my kids to a college where they have, you know, a psychology department and they have teachers and they have my helpers. So here my angels are. These are my helpers. But the caveat here is God closed an energetic gateway between the unseen worlds and our world, which is why we can't see the unseen world. That's a law of the universe. And God put inside of every person a whisper, a prayer that said, I am always here with you. However, you have to ask. I cannot interfere in your free will and your lessons. You must call the angels. You must ask for help. You must ask for help from me. And when you do this, you open a door, you open a vortex for the angelic realms and for my presence to pour you with the light of clarity, healing, strength, prophecy, intuition, and many times miracle. But you have to be the one to open the door because I have sent you off on a journey, on a quest to become the hero, the heroine, and the God being of your reality. I love you. That's what God said. Go forth. So that's why we have to ask. And they come. They always come.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Very encouraging. And I love you're talking about, like, miracles can be available yes. at that point.
That's right.
I want to thank you both so much for being part of New Dimensions today.
Thank you. Well, it's an honor.
And it's been a lot of fun, too. Thank you so much.
Goody. Really? I'm glad. Here with physicist William Arntz and mystic Deirdre Hayde, and they are together, both husband and wife team, as they explore how science merges with mysticism, and their book that they've co-created, The Not-So-Little Book of Surprises. To know more about their work, you can go to their website, bookofsurprises.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. This program was recorded at Strawberry Hill Productions, a full-service podcast production studio in Novato, California. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions.